Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin, and I'm joined by Aaron Larsoul of the official Lakers podcast. Friend of the show at this point, Aaron. You've been on a few times, and now I'm. This is how it works. When you're on like your second or third time, you become a friend of Locked On Lakers. So welcome to the friendship.
Is there a t-shirt involved in that? Is there some sort of award that that comes along with such designations? Thank you for having me. But yeah, you and I are friends, so I can be a friend of the show. Yeah. That works. Yeah, I do want my t-shirt.
There's a big giant, actually, it's its own category at the end of the year with the ESPYs. Best friend of Locked On Lakers. They do it before the show kicks off. It's this whole deal, but
kind of awesome.
And for some reason, they keep on, whoever wins the award, like, gives the award back. It's kind of like hitting a home run as the away player at Wrigley Field. They just throw the ball back. They throw the award back. So at least I don't have to spend money on trophies every year.
I'm hopeful. I don't know if you know this, but I'm an A's fan, and my A's are playing in the wild card game against the Yankees here in a couple hours. So I'm hopeful that there are going to be a few home runs thrown back because the visiting team hits them this evening.
Yeah.
Well, I will use that to comfort myself until the A's get their brains beat in, and also I will comfort myself with the trophy I am going to receive on the off camera portion before the ESPYs, as you. But how many more visits do I need this season, do you think, for me to lock that in?
Speaking of, man. Just to be safe, we should probably lock you in with like a with at least like a daily segment, I think.
But we'll see. That's fair.
We're gonna talk today though. About what we've seen so far from the first two preseason games. I already have friends needling me because they've lost two to the Denver Nuggets for some reason. And so that's how I should have known that was going to happen like that. But I don't know. There's been some promising stuff. There's been some disappointing stuff. There's been some stuff that I think can get better. So we're going to talk about all of it. Namely, Lonzo Ball and his return. He might play, by the time you guys are listening to this, tonight against the Sacramento Kings. Kuzma and the other centers that are not named JaVale McGee have been a little, they've made me a little nervous so far. And then finally, we'll keep the conversation going about Kentavious Caldwell-Pope and Josh Hart and see if Aaron feels differently than Pete and I did in yesterday's show. You guys know where to find the show. You guys know where to find us. Shouts to all the sponsors and partners that we've worked with so far. Continue to support those guys so they keep supporting us. Let's talk first about Lonzo, though. The Lakers have been really careful with him. Fox News thinks that they're overly conservative with their approach with Lonzo Ball. I think, though, it's for the right reasons. And look, if all it turns out is that he misses two preseason games, I think we can live with that.
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting to monitor, also because there's the added layer of who's going to start at point guard for this team. If both guys are healthy, I think that's kind of an open competition, and we'll get to Josh and KCP, who Luke also mentioned today at practice, after practice today. I don't even know what day it is. Wednesday. Wednesday after practice, that competition is open. But I saw Lonzo, he was playing 4-on-4, he scrimmaged. This was on Monday. I saw Lonzo scrimmaging, and he looked, frankly, a little bit away from being able to come back to me. Didn't look quite right. Still looked a little ways away. We've seen him shooting around and doing some things since then. Has looked better. And as you mentioned, I think it is possible he plays on Thursday night at Staples Center. Luke said today after practice that Lonzo went through everything, did everything, looked really good. And the team is going to see how he feels in the morning. And if he feels exceptional Thursday morning, then he's going to play in a limited capacity as they try to ramp him up. I agree with you, though. I would kind of be a little bit, I don't know that I would go so far as to call myself Fox News in this scenario, but I think they should be conservative with him. I think it really is going to be fascinating, the competition between Lonzo and Rondo, specifically because they're very, very similar offensive players. And, you know, what do you get defensively from them. I think the other interesting thing, though, is just the fact that Lonzo is there, and there are three primary ball handlers, meaning those two guys and LeBron. I think it's interesting to see what that does to Lance Stevenson's role, because Lance is a guy that, you know, Lance can make him dance sometimes, and he can be a guy that occasionally tries to do too much and really wants to initiate the offense kind of by himself. If he is slotted into a more complementary role, because you can always have at least one of Lonzo, LeBron, or Rondo on the floor at all times, I think it'll be interesting to see what that does to Lance's role.
I think given the way that the starters especially want to play, Lonzo makes way more sense. Just you mentioned the defense. Lonzo is a lot more predictable on defense. He's just better on defense.
That's what it is. He's better.
he's just better on defense than Rondo is. And Luke had talked a little bit about Rondo maybe overhelping sometimes, and that makes, you know, the Nuggets were the Lakers won the first half, but I feel like the Nuggets, if they weren't coming off of like 10 straight days of being on the road, they were getting a lot of open shots. And I think that had a lot to do with not just Rondo overhelping, but just in general, the guys were, I think, putting themselves into iffy spots. But with Lonzo in the starting lineup, and given the way that group wants to run, whoever I think is most likely to get you stops, I think, should get that spot if they earn it. And that's the big if here, is whether or not we think Lonzo can win that spot at this point, entering training camp and entering this preseason play where he is right now.
I have a sneaking suspicion that Rondo is going to be the starting point guard. I personally think Lonzo is probably the better player at this point, for this team specifically, because of what you were just mentioning. And Luke talked today in the presser about wanting to play fast, which both guys can do, but very specifically and conceptually, the reason why he wants to play fast, just because that's kind of how he thinks basketball should be played. But he reiterated how important defense and defensive stops are to do that, because you're not going to be able to run unless you can get stops and unless you can play very competent and sound defense. And despite Rondo's reputation, and, you know, playoff Rondo has been a thing his last few appearances in the playoffs, where he has really upped his level, both before he got hurt 2 years ago, and then last year with the Pelicans, he was really good and played very well defensively. But just game to game in the regular season, Lonzo last year was a better defensive player than Rondo. And I think that's key for helping the team run. I know they want to play with pace. I think that's very important. However, that said, I have a sneaking suspicion, for quite a few different reasons, that Rajon Rondo is going to be the starting point guard. Possibly, you know, the narrative can be it's because Lonzo is taking time to get back, which also, I don't say the narrative as spin or pejorative in any way. It could be just that Lonzo is a little bit behind.
Might literally be the case.
Right.
But right. It might also give them the excuse to roll with the guy that they may kind of sort of want there anyway.
Yeah, I mean, we heard it from Luke. I think what you just said is exactly right. And we heard from Luke early that, you know, Rajon was kind of named the starter very early on, and then Luke kind of backpedaled for that and kind of clarified that it was because Lonzo wasn't ready to go fully yet. But the breadcrumbs that lead me to to Rondo as the starter is the team has been kind of the PR staff of the team. They've been putting Rondo out there a lot. He's been kind of, and they're showing off how vocal he is. And Luke has talked about how vocal Rondo and LeBron both, but how vocal Rondo has been in helping the teammates, communicating on defense. Also towards the end of practice, you know, sometimes we see they'll have shooting competitions or things like that at the end of practice. And, you know, it looks like the team captains for those things are, there's Team LeBron and there's Team Rondo. So, all those things kind of are leading me down the path that I think Rondo wins the job, at least kind of in the near term here. And there's, you know, there's some difference of opinion around NBA Twitter, and I actually reasonable people could disagree with that about whether they agree with that move or not. Also, the factor of LeBron tending to like guys that that have some veteran presence. Yeah, he usually ends up with those guys, although he's been very complimentary of Lonzo also. But all that stew, mix it all together, and I just kind of have a sneaking suspicion that Rondo's going to win the job.
It'd be interesting. I don't know if necessarily, like, I if and when that happens, I'll analyze it then. You know, it's kind of one of those things that I'm going to try to not speak it into existence by, like, not bringing it up. Maybe it won't happen, because I just think Lonzo makes a lot more sense for the starters. But who knows? We're going to take a quick second here. When we come back, we're going to talk about more of the bench guys, and actually some of what we're talking might be able to make the case for why Lonzo might make more sense with the bench guys. We'll get to that here in a bit. So far what we've seen from the bench going to, or from the starters going to the bench, is that the Kuzma experiment at the five hasn't looked very good. He's either been in foul trouble or honestly, like, it looks like he's missing his legs because of how hard he's being forced to work on defense. Beasley has gone down there a little bit, but again, I just don't know if I would trust Michael Beasley as a team's primary backup center. I don't know if Zubats is an NBA player at this point. And so what we were talking about a second ago was how Lonzo being the better defensive player than Rondo might actually make him more sense for the starters. But actually, there's a case you can make here then, though, that if Lonzo was a better defensive player, and given the lack of defensive ability when JaVale McGee goes off the court, maybe we can start to make a case then for Lonzo being the better fit with the bench, at least early on, as those guys start to figure out how to play in those roles, because they're new roles for everybody involved.
Yeah, I almost don't think it matters that much, because if you don't have a competent defensive big guy, you're almost sunk immediately. You know, it's been pretty proven, is an interesting way to put it, but I'll put it that way. It's basically been proven that offensively the value comes from smaller guys, and defensively all the value's in the bigger guys. It almost doesn't matter how good of a defender — that's overstating it, but it matters much less how good of a defender some of the smaller perimeter guys are. So I think the question just becomes, well, there's two questions. One, JaVale has led the team in scoring both games, both preseason games here. But the first question is, how much can JaVale play? He has, you know, the asthma issues, mm-hmm. but has never played a lot of minutes in his life. And then the second question is, how dedicated are you to having a big guy? Look, there are going to be some struggles. There are always, with every team except the Warriors, and with the Warriors only with Draymond Green, there are always trade-offs with going small, whether it's defending, whether it's rebounding. There's always trade-offs, whether it's offense for defense, whatever, and the Lakers are going to face that. But how much can Kuzma harm people if he's the five offensively? You know, because you still have to have whatever big guy, Jokic or whoever, you're going to have to Plumlee, they're going to have to chase Kuzma around also. He's going to give up some points on defense, but the Lakers are going to switch everything basically always. So what kind of trade-off is there going to be, and how committed are you to having a big guy at all? I'm kind of the mindset, as it appears Luke Walton is, get the best players out there and you'll figure it out. And Kuz is one of the best five guys on the team. So how often are you willing to say, look, there are going to be some trade-offs here. There are going to be some defensive deficiencies, but we got to get our best five guys out there.
Yeah. One of the quotes that stuck out to me last night after the game, or by the time you guys are listening to this, a couple nights ago, was Luke saying, alluding to them allowing the ball to get wherever that Denver wanted to get it. Right. Right. And that to me speaks more of pressure on the perimeter, and kind of the more that the Lakers allow the Nuggets in this case, or whichever team that they're playing against, when they're small, the more that they allow the offense that they're going up against to be comfortable on the perimeter, the less likely they are going to be to get the kind of stops that you to make up for not having a big out there. And I think you can attribute it to a couple things. I think one, you can attribute it to it's the preseason, and I just don't know if NBA players are going to focus on defensive pressure in games that don't matter on the perimeter. And then the other thing too is that this is, again, this is a very new idea for a lot of the parties involved, whether it's NBA basketball as a whole for the young core as a newer idea, or for the veterans, this idea of not playing with a traditional big back there. That's not how they've played maybe over the course of their career. So I think it's going to be a work in progress. I completely agree with you on that point. Do you think it's a work worth progressing towards?
I do, because, like, again, you got to get your best players out there.
Yeah.
And I think there are some teams whose best player, or, you know, best, one of the best five or six players at least, is a big guy, you know, Karl Anthony Towns or Capella or whoever, you know, Anthony Davis. The Lakers, if you're going to go through their best guys, by the time you get to JaVale McGee, you're 8-9 guys deep. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean JaVale shouldn't have a role. I think he should. And I you want JaVale playing as much as he can. He's a really good fit with the starters, with LeBron, et cetera. So JaVale's not the problem. But in a league where you're trying to get your best guys on the floor, your most talent on the floor, the Lakers, for numerous reasons, they don't have a guy bigger than 6'8 or 6'9 when they go out. Brandon is looking taller. He may be 6'10 now, but they don't have a traditional big guy in that group of their best players. I think you're hearing a lot of, and part of it is because I think philosophically Luke just believes in it, and part of it is because he's trying to coach the roster he has. He keeps talking about switching everything, positionless basketball, switching everything. And that's difficult to do. It also requires a lot of communication. So you hear Luke harping on everybody talking. It's a really difficult thing to do, to learn how to switch and have that trust in your teammates that everybody knows what everybody's going to do. It takes time. I think that's why you're seeing some deficiencies in that in these first two preseason games, because it's not something most guys are used to doing. In addition to some guys playing, quote, out of position, like Kuz having to guard centers, which he's not used to doing, you're asking guys to switch basically everything all the time. And one of the reasons why the Rockets were so successful against the Warriors is because they implemented that during the season. And so they got all those mistakes out of the way. So by the time it came to the playoffs, all of their guys were used to switching everything, which is not a normal NBA defense. So as I think the Lakers are implementing that, or implementing some of that, the fact that these guys have all kind of, except for the four young guys, these guys are all kind of new to each other and are new to this system. I think there are going to be growing pains, but I think it is worth working on it now, because if you have aspirations for the playoffs, you're going to have to play your best guys. Right? JaVale did okay switching last year in the playoffs against LeBron, but you can only ask JaVale to do so much in switching and guarding guys. But if you are playing the Warriors or playing Houston or whatever down the road in the playoffs, you're going to want to have those regular season reps in switching it, because you need your best guys on the floor. And in those series, you know, there's plenty of NBA series where even really effective big guys get played off the floor because they can't switch. So I think there's value in getting those reps in now, looking towards the future when you're going to need to implement that. And hopefully at that time, all the communication and the rotations and all the trust is set.
Yep, I completely agree with everything you said there. And again, it's two preseason games. And in the second preseason game, by the way, they ran the Nuggets off the court. when the guys who were playing who mattered. When LeBron was playing and when Rondo was out there and when guys started to, you know, look a little bit more comfortable with what they were doing, they looked very good, and Staples Center was a buzz because of it. So, you know, I completely agree that this is a long term goal and a long term style that they're going to play with this roster. So you do what you have to. All right, we're going to take another quick second here, and when we come back, we're going to talk about another positional battle. We've talked about Lonzo Ball and Rajon Rondo. We're going to talk about KCP and Josh Hart. All right, so are you team Hart or team Pope?
I think I'm team Hart, but I think it's close. I'm team Hart mostly because the guys are similar, much like kind of Rondo and Lonzo. Josh and KCP are pretty similar players. I think it really, for that to be playing with the starters and playing most of your minutes with LeBron or all of your minutes with LeBron, I really think it comes down to who shoots the ball better, as far as who is more valuable to that lineup. They're both pretty good defensive players. Josh rebounds a bit better, but you know, they're similar players. They're both good 3-point shooters. You know, not exactly proven and tested. You know, it's not Klay Thompson, but they're both guys that can shoot. But I think that's really what becomes a differentiating factor. And Luke talked very much about how the battle is open, and then they're going to play it out through camp and see what it does. It, for me, it's also kind of like, you know, are you a college football guy? Are you a college football fan?
I dabble.
Okay, so to me, it's kind of like the other reason I lean Josh slightly is, like, you know, if I've got a quarterback that's a senior, a junior, or a senior, and I've got a quarterback that's a freshman that's going to be around a while.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're,
I was just thinking
similar,
this,
right? Like, they're pretty similar. Yeah. I guess I tend towards giving the reps to the guy I know, or at least think is going to be around for a few years. So I tend Josh. The other interesting thing, and this was in the first preseason game, Josh didn't really look good with Lance. Lance kind of marginalized Josh, it looked like. So I think KCP may fare better in that bench role, where he'll do better not getting marginalized, and Josh can kind of feed off all the creation from all of the guys in the starting lineup, Rondo in this case, and LeBron. So I think it kind of just fits a little better with Josh and the starters and KCP with the reserves, but really it's like a 51-49 thing. So I just tend towards the guy that I figure, you know, you put the resources into the guy that you have a good idea is going to be around a while.
Well, he's also going to be around a while for a lot cheaper, right? Like, if let's say that the Lakers think that KCP is their long-term solution at shooting guard, well, next year he's going to cost more than Josh Hart would, right? And and given what they're going to be trying to do in the next couple off seasons, especially by the time Anthony Davis becomes available, you have to kind of sort of plan for that as well. And in that case, then Josh Hart makes even a little bit more sense. I think it kind of also ties back to what we were talking at the beginning of the show, or in that first segment regarding Lonzo and Rondo, is that, all right, if Lonzo is with the starters, you can get away with having KCP out there because he is not good at switching down another team's lineup.
Correct. But
if you have Rondo out there, then it makes more sense to have Josh Hart out there because he is better at switching down the other team's lineup. He's better at being physical and getting rebounds and mixing it up down there. And again, it's just about trying to find the right pieces while these two teams are out there. And the other thing too that we need to keep into account is Luke Walton is coaching a very different style than he did last year. It's not last year or even the year before that as well. It was a lot more of, all right, this is the starters. They run these sets. Here's the bench. They run their sets. And we're going to try to keep that as consistent as possible. This year, he's a lot more fluid with what he's trying to do over the course of a game. And so it's just about finding combinations, in my opinion, that make the most sense and have those combinations out there as much as possible.
Yeah, I think you just hit on something interesting, and I think we will see some similarities to last year, just in so far as Luke is thinking of this as units. He's a big proponent of units and guys playing well together and fitting together in certain roles, not necessarily just who the best guys are. I think the best guys, that matters in a closing lineup. So I would go with LeBron and the four young guys. But Luke cares about units. And so I think those those thought processes are happening even as we record this. You know, which guys, if we do end up, if this guy wins this battle, you know, if Rondo wins the battle to start at point guard, okay, who fits better with that group? Is KCP? Is it going to be Josh? So I think all of those things are being taken into account. And I think you're thinking about this the right way. And it's, I'm probably putting too much stock in who are the best guys. I think Josh is a slightly better player than KCP. I think the way that you're thinking about it is probably even better than how I was thinking about it, because if we're predicting Luke, I'm not saying that they're going to run different sets for different groups as much as they did last year. I mean, last year there was almost like kind of hockey line changes.
Yeah.
Some guys would do some stuff and some guys wouldn't do it at all. I think the team is more fluid and malleable than that, where they can run a bunch of the same stuff, and I think they will. Also, we're seeing a lot of 1-4 flat, which is, we didn't see hardly any of last year. But I think Luke is thinking about what combinations fit best together.
Yeah, it's going to be, it's something that we're going to be monitoring all preseason and even into the regular season. It's going to be something that is going to be a fluid situation. One thing I was just thinking of a second ago is the matchups that the Lakers have played or will have played in preseason in these first three games aren't great for a team that's trying to learn to play small, right? Like Denver is a huge front line, with Jokic being a legitimate 7 feet tall and skilled. Paul Millsap is a thick 6'10", 6'9", power forward. He's built like a freight train, so he's tough. Even when the Lakers, even when Jokic wasn't on the court, or when the Lakers had a more traditional lineup out there and Kyle Kuzma was out there with, say, JaVale or something, he was still having to deal with Paul Millsap, and that's not a fun matchup for somebody learning to play big for the first time. And then Thursday, or by the time you guys are listening to this, tonight, the Lakers play the Sacramento Kings, who are like obnoxiously big.
Yeah, I mean, I think their game, let's see, I think it was Tuesday night, their game, I think they played, like, they literally played, I think, four 7-footers. Yeah. But the other thing, you're right about the challenges that the Nuggets provide because of their size, and Jokic, obviously, Lee's a big boy. Leaning on him is, you know, obviously different than whatever last year when JaVale was in Gold State. If Kuz was trying to battle JaVale, that's a much different thing than battling Jokic, just size-wise. But the other thing is, they are such a good passing team. Jokic is so smart, and that offense, the creation comes from a lot of different places, that puts pressure on a defense, especially a switching defense. And in addition to that, the Nuggets have continuity. They know all their guys. Their guys have been together, Millsap less so, but for the most part, their guys have been together a little while at this point, and that is going to stress a switching defense also, because they're used to running what they're running.
Yeah, I'm just freaking out right now. Well, Harrison is freaking out because I'm recording this at a time when Brad Turner reports that Lonzo Ball will not, in fact, play tomorrow or tonight when the Kings play the Lakers at Staples Center. That's kind of a bummer to find out about.
Yeah, I mean, as I said, to me, you know, to my semi-trained eye, a little bit of a scouting background, but I would still say my eye is untrained, semi-untrained. He didn't look entirely right to me a few days ago, and that was just in a scrimmage. So I'm not shocked by that. Luke did say, you know, he went through, as I said earlier, that he went through practice today, Wednesday, and did everything and looked great, but they were going to kind of wait to see how he felt in the morning. But Luke's verbiage on that was like, if he feels incredible, he'll play in a very limited role. So it didn't feel like he was going to play tomorrow, and I think that's probably the wise choice. But yeah, it would have been nice to see him running around out there a little bit.
Yeah, it's kind of a bummer, but you start to get why they do it. I guess we'll end on this. Is there a point where fans should start to not freak out, but start to get kind of annoyed or I guess worried about when Lonzo should come back? Like, if he's not ready by regular season, then you start to really ask questions like, all right, what's really going on with this guy's knee?
I mean, I guess the question is, I mean, it's far be it for me to tell people when it's appropriate to freak out. So I don't know. I don't have an answer for that. But look, what I will say is, if he's not ready for the regular season, I guess that could be cause for some concern. But I would say that it's more important to say, like, perhaps the reason if he's not ready for the regular season, and obviously none of us are doing any reporting on that, but is it because like physically he's okay, but you know, he's been out a while, so he doesn't have his wind or he doesn't have his timing, condition, whatever. I suspect we will see him by the opener, but you know, if he's not there for the opener because he still needs to get him physically, he's okay. He just needs to get in basketball shape and you know, timing and all of that, then it's understandable. So I guess, you know, if a few weeks into the season, a month into the season, we don't see him, there's definitely going to be some questions that are being asked. So I would say at least give it a week or two into the season before people start thinking something's up.
All right, I'm stepping off the ledge.
The ledge, back away.
I'm off the ledge. I'm gonna, you know, just kind of sit down and woos off for a little bit. That's a bummer, but you know, whenever he does get out there, he'll be a welcome addition.
Well, and still, there's still 2 weeks left before the opener in Portland today. It'll be 13 days as you listen to this. So there's still. The Kings game tonight as you listen, and a couple against the Warriors, and so there's some time, and one in Anaheim against the Clippers, so there's still some time for him to get that work in against somebody else before the opener. So all is not lost yet.
Yeah, no, it's not lost. It's I might be able to find it. Just lift up a couple pillows and stuff, and you might be able to find it down there. That'll do it then for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast with now friend of the show, Aaron Marsoul of the official Lakers podcast. You guys are doing great work over there, man. Congratulations on your run so far this season thus far.
Well, thank you for that, and really shout out to the team, because the team has been really good about granting us access and going on the road and doing things at games and practices and really giving us access to all the guys. So shout out to them.
Yeah, it's a great show. You guys should go check that out. It's everywhere you can find podcasts. Everywhere you find this podcast, I would imagine you can find the official Lakers podcast. You can find Aaron on Twitter. What's your at again, Aaron?
It is at Aaron Larsoul, Aaron with two A's, and then my last name, Larsuel.
Cool. And have a great rest of your day, everybody. We will not see Lonzo Ball tonight when you guys are listening to this, but maybe we'll see him soon. Have a great rest of your day.
What you will see is you will know by the time you listen to this whether, I don't know, 12 to 14 to 16 to 18 hours before this that you are listening to it, if I am miserable, because you will know if I have won or lost. I suspect they're going to lose and I will be miserable, but you will know as you listen to this.
Hey, I always root against the Yankees, so good luck,
that's
bud.
That's reasonable, right?
Yeah, that's anybody listening to this, you should be rooting against the Yankees. So
I will take it. And then if the A's win, I can bring everybody along with me because they will be playing the hated Boston Red Sox. And
yeah,
around here, we all love rooting against Boston. So
exactly. Yeah. No, it's the root for the A's. Go A's for the rest of this postseason until they reach the World Series. And if they reach World Series and play the Dodgers, then I hope we see a repeat of 1988.
I don't know. Kirk Gibson. I don't know. Is he going to be limping around the bay? Is Dennis Eckersley going to be coming back out? Is this what we're working on here?
Do you have like a sidearm reliever that the Dodgers can pick on?
No.
Oh man,
they have lots of relievers that can get picked on, but none of them throw like Eck.
Oh man, well, we might have to dust him off. Thanks, Aaron. Have a great day.
All right, you do the same, brother.